listening to a podcast of Living Faith located at 51 North Market Street, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, a community of faith, love, and hope.
So my son watches out for me in that regard. He says, one day I will be back. I will come up to contemporary lines, but I don't know. He says, I have those preacher 3 points and 4 point kind of thing. And I said, actually, I didn't get that from preaching. I got that because of my math and science background. How many of you had to take geometry or algebra? Did you ever take those? You start with a theorem of something you think is true, and then you set up a thing to try to prove it. And then once you see if it works, you check back and go. So there's your points. It was always that way in science reports I wrote up. You wrote up the idea you were trying to solve, how you tried to do it, how it worked, and then your conclusion. I said, so I had it there long before I had it as a preaching guide. So I'll try not to get you with 3 straight points. But I want to share a truth that you may find difficult to hear. Are you ready? It might even be written in your guide. I'm not sure. Is it written in the guide? Is it written in the outline or anything? Maybe not. I'll find out. The Christian life is impossible to live. You cannot do it. Okay, I feel the eyes upon me. You realize that what I'm saying is none of us can live the Christian life in and of ourselves. I don't have enough strength, wisdom, chutzpah, virtue, integrity. I don't have it to go it alone. Now, the good news is even in the songs we sing, we know God's our source. And without that source, remember the scriptures, I can do all things through me who strengthens myself. No. I think sometimes we mistakenly think we're like those. I saw these new battery chargers. I'm so illiterate in this. And my wife had this little separate charger. I said, what are you doing with that? She said, I'm charging my phone. It's low. I said, what do you plug it in? She said, well, it's a separate pack that's already charged, and you just plug it into your phone. I said, do you have anything like that you can plug into my ears? Apparently, you charge that, and then that gives several charges. So I'm totally out of it. Well, we can't do it alone. One of the things I've appreciated, I read an Irishman named Dave Leggy. He has one of the most beautiful illustrations I've ever seen about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about A.J. Gordon, who was a pastor in the 1800s. And on one occasion, he went to the Chicago Expo, Chicago World's Fair. And from a distance, he sees this fellow dressed in kind of ornamental garments, probably Chinese, Japanese, he couldn't tell. And the guy is pumping this, and the water is just flowing out. And he's pumping for all he's worth. And he's standing there watching you. Man, look at the stamina of that guy. Look at the strength. You got to start pumping that handle. That can work. Yeah. You ever have to pump water with a handle? You think it's okay until you get about the 10th push. And you go, oh, man. And you don't want to change hands because you look like a wimp. Because then your wife will, well, never mind, won't go there. And he says, I got to get a look at this. And so the closer he goes, he sees this water coming out even more, and then he notices something. The man isn't a man. He's made out of wood. And actually, it's the flow of water that's making the pump move and the man move. I say that to say this. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives to live the Christian life. Sometimes, as Christians, we're saved, and we try to do it on our own. We try to pump the water of God's Spirit in and through our lives, and it doesn't work. It's supposed to be the other way around. It's the flow of the Spirit in our lives that makes us go. And we forget that. We don't mean to. But see, we have some of these kind of like imperceptive perceptives that people have. Like, God helps them who... Now, I understand what they're getting at. But we can create a bad problem doing that spiritually. Well, sure, I don't need God today. I can do this. Sure, I can fail today. I don't mind. But the living water flows through us. That's what God wants to see. I can't overstate enough the need for the Spirit in our lives. It marks our identity as His. He equips us to serve. I think I told you one time they had, I talk with some of these guys, they're afraid of the extremes they see. And there are extremes. Some people use the Holy Spirit to extremes. And, well, the Holy Spirit told me to jump off the roof and land on pellets. Some ridiculous. Or told me to go make this deal. And the Spirit no more told him that than he told me I need another 50 pounds. It just doesn't work that way. But Romans 8, I showed the fellow this. In Romans 8, 5 to 9, the summation is this. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to Christ. So you can't come up and say, if you have friends, well, we don't need this Holy Spirit stuff. Well, we need the Holy Spirit. I don't know about stuff, but we need the Holy Spirit. And his desire, Christ through us, is to be Lord and Savior of our lives. That's why Ephesians says in 3:19, we're filled with all the fullness of God, and that fullness is by the Spirit. And I guess I want to say that really we're going to look at three things today. This Holy Spirit's foundational, it's favorable, and it's flourishing. Now my son would get after me for that. He goes, Dad, you don't have to make everything the same first letter. You don't have to make it sound alike. I said, son, that's just part of my nature. And it's how I distinguish food. There's food I eat and food I don't. I call it all food. We were at our daughter's again the other day, and she's a vegetarian. Try this chili, Dad, with tofu meatballs. I said, I love you. I know I need to lose weight, but this is not tofu, okay? This is a real thing. And try it. You'll like, no, I didn't like it. I can't go that route, but you're welcome to it. Well, there's a foundation to our lives, and it's the Spirit. A foundation is needed for everything. Now, I'm not a woman, but I understand even makeup has a foundation, doesn't it? If you put it on, you know, the makeup. Organizations, churches should have a foundation because that's Christ. Government has a foundation. I don't know what ours has done with it, but pretty well ignored it. Education used to have a foundation too, but I guess it's better I don't go there. Corinthians says that we only have one foundation, and that's Christ. And Christ gives us a Spirit to live by and grow by. I'm curious of Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who comes after me, what's mightier, I'm not fit to tie his sandals, he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I find it curious that a lot of verses like that, I read commentaries, they skip right over verses like that. Maybe that's not for this this age or whatever. I don't like reading books like that. But fire is used in a lot of ways in Scripture as purity, judgment, and grace. Remember in Acts 2 at Pentecost, the Spirit came, it was like fire. I remember when I was first saved, there were several terms that are used. They're no longer shared. Now, some of them are coming back. We used to say in the hippie days in the 60s that you were all in. You were sold out for Christ. But we use terms like full surrender, holding on to the horns of the altar, being on fire for Christ. And any of those coming back at all? We had those. Holding on to the horns of the altar meant you were praying and you weren't letting go. You were there until God gave an answer, until he told you he needed a break, and then you take a break. It's significant about our passion. I find it amazing that often we have passion with elections and with issues and with sports. And how about some passion with the Lord? I even remember early on, they used to call a lot of young Christians radicals. Now, in science, I love radicals because radicals could influence a reaction. They'll change it for the better. Isn't that what we're doing? We're supposed to be like radicals. That's a positive thing. But we use it today. Oh, I'm radical then. Be a radical. Be passionate. I'm very tremendous. I love the verses in Leviticus 6:12. I have to read that. And now it's too bad my wife isn't here. She put these things in my Bible. They're extra ribbons. And some of the colors are translucent. So I'm trying to read them. But let me read this verse about fire. It's probably very familiar with it. They're talking about the fire on the altar of God. And Leviticus 6, 12 to 13, here my son would get after, he says, Dad, that's Old Testament. I know, son, live with it. And verse 12, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out, But the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. He shall lay out the burnt offering on it and offer up the smoke that prepares the fat portions of the peace offerings. Fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar. It shall not go out. You see, that's why we can be living sacrifices. The burning is never supposed to go out of us. The oil is always burning, again, symbolic for the Holy Spirit, because I can't do it on my own. I cannot. Put it this way. I can try to do it on my own, but what happens? Look, I burn out. Now, let me tell you the worst thing that can happen. I've known some people that tried it on their own, and they succeeded. And they said, see, I didn't need that. Oh, don't want to go that route. Don't want to go that route. You need to go to the route of dependence on God. I'm also remarkable when it comes to fire and issues that I, even recently, we were up just conference recently, which I won't go into. Should I go into conference? No. Okay. when I go to conference, I quote scripture. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's a cross between that and Eric Burden and the animals. We got to get out of this place. It's the last thing we ever do. Lord, there's a better place for you and me and whatever. But there's still a lot of people. I was talking to some of them, and they were still talking over two fiery issues. One was worship. Well, I like this style. I like that style. If you love each other, don't you give each other a chance with music and sing it all to the glory of God? I pointed out to one fellow in the Old Testament, like in the Psalms, they clap, they stand, they cry, they weep, they shout, they kneel. Sometimes they're quiet. Well, it don't mean that. You know, I love those guys. And the other one is this area of the Holy Spirit. It's terminology. Is it filled? Is it baptized? Is it with the Spirit? Is it in the Spirit? Is it sealed with the Spirit? Is it infilling in the Spirit? How about this? How about we just have the experience that God wants us to have and have His Spirit to guide us and direct us? Whether you want to call it infilling, whether you want to call it baptism, whether you want to call it with or in, let God do what He wants to do. Let Him have that fullness. Remember in Romans 10, it says what? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls. Well, I think it's the same thing with God's Spirit. He says in Luke 11:13, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Spirit to those who ask? I chewed that verse and the guy said, I said, well, you didn't ask. He said, I didn't think it was, then you probably asked with the wrong motives. James says, if you ask with the wrong motives, you're in trouble. I know this fellow. There's a little bit of Simon Magnus. Remember Simon Magnus in the book of Acts? He wanted the Holy Spirit so he could lay hands on people, see things happen. And Peter said, your money perish with you. This isn't a joke. This is reality. The point is this. We're not called to feel a certain way. We're called to have the promise and the power of the Spirit in us. Secondly, the life of the Spirit is a favorable life. I love this. Something that's favorable means this. Having beneficial influence or a beneficial outcome. Hey, a good day can be favorable, can't it? A good friend, a loving friend, a great meal, a goal, a night sky. And one of my favorite, for which some accuse me of being flaky, but they don't do it to my face, fireflies. I love all, sometimes my wife gets so upset with me because we have one of those night lights. You know, you go outside and the light comes on automatic and then it just stays on. Or a bug goes by and it comes back on. Turn the bloody thing off. Where you might call? Turn it off! So I disattach it. Because then when everything's dark, you see the fireflies. And you're thinking, man, what God's design. What an accident of evolution this was. I just said, yeah. And I love it. He says, look, when I give you that fullness of the Spirit in Ephesians 5, you'll be sick. Well, let me just read it. That's probably better if I do that. If I get through a few, I don't misquote anything. Not that I would intentionally do that. But he talks about in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 18, he says, don't get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation. That's over the top. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. You see, that's what the Spirit can do alone. We sing and encourage one another. We've sang. Do you ever find yourself during the day you might sing a song? You're just singing to yourself. And it doesn't matter if it's off key. It doesn't matter at all, because it's ministering to your heart. You know, when we sing to God, it's just like our kids singing to us. Ever have your kids singing to you? Oh, that was on key. Ooh. I remember our kids, they had a turn. They played those flutophones. You know, oh, Lord, what a cacophony of oh, it's great. It's great. Oh, could I sit on one of those? No, but you don't do it. But we sound the same to God. It doesn't matter if we're flat or sharp. What matters, we're singing from our hearts. And it touches the heart of God. It means we have a thankful spirit. Did you ever hang out with people that didn't have a thankful spirit and it started to overflow? You know, it's like that old joke about the guy that never had a thankful spirit. I'm not going to get this right. I didn't write this joke up. Gentleman about the two farmers, and they were complaining about the fact that it wasn't raining. So they met at the corner of the fields. And we got to get rain soon. Well, if we don't, the crops are going to go. He says, well, look, I'm going to pray. We're going to go back to our church tonight. We're going to have a time to pray. So they prayed, and sure enough, God brought gentle rains. Not heavy storms, but nice, beautiful rains. And so the farmer's man, he says, what do you think of that? He says, God answers prayers. Yeah, but if we get too much rain, it'll spoil the crop. So the fellow says to himself, I'm tired of this guy. He's unthankful. He's pessimistic. I'm going to do something that he can't deny. So in the fall, they went duck hunting. Never and ducks flew overhead, and then they shot, boom, boom, boom. Here comes the duck, and he turns over to his dog and says, go fetch. And the dog walks on water to go get the ducks. Walks back in the boat. A couple minutes later, more ducks. Boom, boom. Says to the dog, go get them. He walks on the water and walks back in the boat. And the neighbor said, your dog don't know how to swim, does he? That's just how some people are. And you can only... you can only take that in your spirit so much. And the last part, it says we're submissive one to another. It means we put one another first. Do you find that easy to put one another first? Sometimes I shouldn't say I don't. I guess I actually do. People are amazed at that. They think I have such a forceful personality. I don't yield to anybody, but I really think I do. But if that's the attitude all of us have toward another, to put one another first, what a community. I care more about what you need and want than what I want and need. But see, somebody else is also going to feel that way about me. The world doesn't know how to live like that. It just doesn't. I like the favorable outcome in Acts 4, 29 to 31. Remember, they're in the midst of persecution. They're getting nailed for their faith. They're being told, you keep that up, we'll put you in, we'll show you what hurt is. You won't be healed from that one. Fellow with lame feet was healed. Couldn't walk. And remarkably, they didn't pray, Lord, get us out of here. Stop those guys. They said, no, tell you what, Lord, give us passion, give us boldness. And there was a favorable outcome. They spoke in boldness. The place shook and was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they had a favorable ministry. I think that's what we need in the world today. Well, like the song you just sang, hey, I can go out, I'll risk the sea. There's only grace. What's there to risk? The one who walked on the water is already there. A favorable ministry, a favorable counsel. That's why Timothy says, what, stir up those gifts. Use them to the glory of God. Do it. I love the one verse in Luke 4, 18 and 19. It says, the Spirit of the Lord, what has anointed me? Because what, there's those who are blind. who are hurting, who are desperate, who are imprisoned. And I love the end of it. In verse 19, it says, and I'm to declare something else. Now, sometimes we don't see that because we're so busy seeing the first part. He says, to declare the favorable year of the Lord. The year of the Lord's favor. You know, that hasn't been canceled yet. You know, it's still time of the Lord's favor. Now, when he says it's over, it's over. But right now, it's still favor. People are still favored. They're okay. And we can live a favorable life. Well, the Spirit-filled life is also flourishing. Again, I love to see things that are flourishing. At home, we had a bunch of pansies, and we planted them too soon. And the goofy rabbits came out and ate them. I couldn't find the right ones, or I would have. A remarkable thing happened. They're flourishing again. They've grown back. All the good colors, they're coming back. I love to see kids flourish, don't you? You talk about how you grow up with a young man and all of a sudden he's going to Kenya. You know, 15 years ago, you might have wished he went someplace else. At the end of your foot. I don't know. I'm being mean, but I don't. You understand what I'm saying. This kid driving you nuts. And now, you know, ends up teaching a class. Ends up becoming a pastor. Ends up becoming a teacher. Ends up becoming a singer. Whatever it may be. I love to see plants. I love to see caterpillars flourish. I love to see our nation flourish, but it's flourishing the wrong way. I have to ask myself, am I flourishing? And of course, that's by the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I know Christ wants us to lead a flourishing life. Why do I say that? Well, you know John 10:10. The thief comes to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have what? Yeah, life, and have it more abundantly. He didn't say, I came to see that you failed. I had a guy say to me once, you're not one of those people that believe in success and all that. Well, what, I'm supposed to pray to God for failure? I'm going to pray that this guy does not get healed. I'm going to pray this guy does not get saved. I'm going to pray this fellow does not know the will of God. Well, that's goofy. We said, I didn't mean that. I said, that's basically what you're saying. We pray and leave the results with God. If you look at the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 5 all over, they're the ministry gifts, like prophecy, service, teaching, mercy, wisdom, knowledge. Again, Timothy says, stir them up. 1 Peter 4 says, use them to the glory of God. We use our gifts that way. We also have the fruit, the character. It's how our gifts should be used. I've known some people that are very gifted, but their character fails them. They might have a gift of prophecy, but they use it like a battle axe. It's not used in love. It's not used peacefully. It's not used kindly. It's not used patiently. That's how it has to be. Our gifts are filtered through that fruit. Then we'll use them rightly. It's what Galatians 5 is all about. I'm not going to hit that long, just very quickly. Verses 22 to 23 says, look, we take the character of Christ. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, which I don't quite like that term, self-control. It's really spirit control. Sometimes that's my problem. I am self-controlled. That's the wrong thing. Got to find a better word for that. Sometimes I'll say Holy Spirit control, and someone will say, for someone who's literal, that's not in there. Yeah, well, I think it's implied by lifestyle. Verse 24 says we live a crucified life. We're dead to this world. We walk consistently in the newness of life. We walk freely. We don't strive for the top. We strive to be a servant. Remember when Christ came, did he deserve, what kind of treatment did he deserve? Everyone should have bowed at his feet. And he said, I couldn't, but I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So we're most like Jesus when we serve. So again, do I flourish? Do I flounder? I believe if we desire to flourish, God will make it so, because that's what he wants for his people. I only have two verses to go. Psalm 92, I confess, is one of my most favorite passages in Scripture. And recently, I found out more about it. Are you thankful that when you study God's Word, there's times you'll learn more than you thought was there? I mean, it might be up there. It's Psalm 92, but I'll read it from here as well. The righteous one will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap. Now, it doesn't say sass. Sap. And very green. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I love that verse. I love that passage. I deal with too many people who think that once they get past 40 or past 30, they're done. I'm retired. I'll let somebody younger do it. But he says, look, you're like a palm tree. Now, I don't know if you ever saw a palm tree. They're kind of goofy looking. I mean, you compare them like to a giant cedar tree or an oak or a sequoia. There's no majesty there. There's nothing that lends itself to toughness. And yet the palm tree can do something that no other tree can do. It survives dry times more than any other tree. And more than any other tree, the older it gets, the more fruitful it becomes. Oh, so if you're getting older, don't back off. It's time to get out the bushel baskets. You understand what I'm saying? And if it's true for old age, it's true for young age. And the message is what he says, to declare that the Lord is upright. He's my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. That's how we flourish. We flourish to his glory. We flourish in his love. One last verse from Romans 5:5. It says, God's love has been poured out through our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so I say, let his love come down, because when that love comes down, the Holy Spirit's going to be revealed. The message of God's glory is going to be revealed, and we'll flourish. We'll flourish tremendously. I will close with something of conference. Sorry, Nick. Sorry, Nicky, but I got him. Most of conference I have always found boring. Anyway. I am ashamed I cannot remember the guy's name. I wrote the book he wrote, I think it's called The Power of the Few. But our conference, and I understand, they're trying to work on a plan. How do we grow as churches? How do we touch lives? And it has good stuff in it, but it's beginning to look like the healthcare plan. You have to pass it to see what's in it. You have about 73 pages of something that nobody's going to read. Sub-BD, oh, come on. I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. Now, go to page 72. Okay. Yeah. The guy had this little seminar for people who wanted to come, and he said, hey, I don't want to say anything against what you're doing. You need a plan. That's great. But he says in our church, this is what God has led us to. You see, the big thing today is there's different generations. Everybody knows that. There's probably several different generations here. They think different. They have different likes and different dislikes. And suppose you got to change everything. He says, but look, here's what God told us to do. We reach out with something that transcends all generations. It's called the love of Jesus Christ. Because that cracks all generations. And we extend to them care, acceptance, and a place to be. That's what all generations want. They want to be heard. They want to be loved. They want to know they count. That's independent of all that. Now, maybe the other stuff comes in when you decide on music. I don't know. But that's as basic as you can get. And that's exactly what Scripture says. And then what do we do? We mean well, but we confuse it all. We add 16 other things to it. Just let it be the simple love of Christ. What plan did Christ come with? I'm going to love you, and I'm going to connect you back to the Father. And it was so simple and profound, they didn't get it. They thought it had to be something else. So, keep loving. As you serve, as you have opportunities. When people know they have someone that will hear them out, that will care about them, and you can actually have a conversation, and you love them in Christ, oh, God can work in tremendous ways. I recently worked through a guy that had orange hair on one half of his head and tattoos on the other. Now, for me, was that a little weird? Well, yeah. But at 19, he might have thought I was weird with long hair, and and me too. He might have thought a hippie was weird. But we didn't talk about any of that. I asked him how it was. How's his life gone? What's he doing with himself? Does he feel, I use the word blessed. He said, you mean happy? I know, I said blessed. And he said, no. I said, that's because only Jesus can do that. Well, because I had talked to him before, he would listen about Jesus. Now, if I started out by telling him, you know, if you want to be a Christian, you shouldn't have orange hair and tattoos on your head. Where would have that ended? But it didn't. I did my utmost to communicate the love of Jesus. And I'm sure I got somewhere. And of course, my wife was still amazed. She always amazed when she comes back at Park City and, who are you talking to? It was one of the few, I'm going to shut up in a second. It's one of the few comments I ever got. A group of us pastors were out doing pizza one time. At the table next to us, there was a couple that was tattooed galore, and they were rough. You could tell they were rough. I know what rough people look like. And they weren't even from Colombia. I found that out. And they were crying with each other. And I went and I sat down and I said, hey, am I intruding as I see you're having something here? Am I in the way? And so I just left them talk. And then I said, you know, Jesus says Jesus understands everything we go through. He's been there. He's been betrayed. He's been attacked by his own family. He's been ridiculed. He's been mocked. But he still loves us. And in the course of the conversation, they were sure they were going to break up. They had been married. I said, well, what was the key that brought you together? And they were actually believers at one time. They got married, and it was their love. I said, what happened to it? And they agreed they need to get that back. And I said, well, look, I don't live in this area, but I know a guy who does. Here's his phone number. They called him. They said, we're going to come over and talk to you. Now, here's the thing that made me feel good but made me sad. I go back to the table with the other five guys, and they said to me, we figured it would be you that goes talk to people like that. And I'm going to be honest. You know what my first impulse was? To go back to the past. Let me show you what I was. But I can't. No, open your hand. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Spirit. So I don't respond that way. So keep responding that way. And God will bring souls and hearts. And that one changes somewhat. It just goes like a river. So, well, I've bugged you enough. Let me pray for a second. And however you dismiss. Lord, thank you for your people everywhere. Thank you for your love and your Spirit. Because without that Spirit, we can't. We just can't accomplish anything of eternal value. So renew us, Lord. Help us to be passionate and excited. Help us to be a people who are flourishing. Help us to get our bushel baskets and prepare to have more fruit to share for your kingdom. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Direct us in your perfect peace, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about Living Faith, check us online at livingfaithlancaster.org.